Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Today we'd like to look at an article that was published on the PBS.org website. It was titled Former Mormons and posted June 26, 2015. And it was an interview that a woman by the name of Deborah Potter, who was a contributing correspondent, had with some people who have left the Mormon Church recently, asking them what caused them to leave and what were some of the doubts that some of them are mentioning, and also how the Mormon Church is reacting to those that are leaving. And if you listen to yesterday's broadcast, we had mentioned how we want to have a safe environment for many who are struggling with their Mormonism. Perhaps you are still a member of the LDS Church with a lot of questions, sincere questions, or maybe you've left recently. Now, yesterday I said 1 to 2 years ago, but really there's no date to put on this. If you find yourself being a former Mormon and still struggling with a lot of these issues that you just need some questions answered, or you just want to talk with other people that are going through the same type of emotional experience that you are, then you would certainly be invited to this. That's going to be October 10th, and what you need to do is contact us and let us know that you're interested in coming. Where would they contact us?
Well, they're going to write us at contact@mrm.org and just write us and tell us a little bit about your background in a paragraph or less, and who would like to come from your family, and we then can plan for that. It's going to be in Sandy, in the Sandy area, and we will write you back with the time and the place that's going to happen. We're going to have a dessert. It's going to be a time of fellowship. We're going to tell you more about what we'd like to do as far as possibly having a regular monthly or bi-monthly meeting. It's all up to the people who are at the group. We want to provide that safe environment, a place where people can share their concerns, frustration, doubt, and possibly even have something that we could study that would help people to better understand who Jesus really is and the gift of grace that's available through him. So we want to make that available. So write us, contact@mrm.org, October 10th in the Sandy, Utah area.
And I think this article that we're going to be looking at from PBS.org explains why something like this is necessary. We have found many times we get email from struggling Mormons, and they have very sincere questions, and they don't know who to turn to. And it seems odd that they don't feel comfortable turning to their own church, that they would turn to someone like us. And I've had Christians come up to me, and they'll tell me how their Mormon friends are, for lack of a better word, venting or dumping on them. And I explain to them that the reason they're probably doing that is they don't feel safe talking to those in their own church. That as a Christian who is not a part of the Mormon structure, they look at you as a safe haven and someone that they can trust. And certainly we at MRM want to be able to shepherd people that are having some sincere questions about their faith. And if we can do it through this type of an environment, through this meeting coming up in October, then by all means we want to do that.
So as you said, it could be somebody who's left in the last few years and would like to have some kind of a network, but maybe you're even just questioning your Mormonism and you're a Latter-day Saint. You're invited to come too. We invite you with open arms. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, and it's all kept confidential.
And I think going through this article will help a lot of those who are listening who never had a Mormon background. So we wanted to go through some of the questions that were asked and some of the responses that were given in this PBS.org article. And Deborah Potter, who is listed as the contributing correspondent, and she is meeting with several of these former Mormons, and she's meeting at a local coffee shop.
Why would that be?
Well, that answer is actually given, that one of the reasons why this group decided to meet at a coffee shop was because, as one person, a guy named Edward, said, they know that if they go to a coffee shop, it's very unlikely the word is going to get back to their family. Why? Because most Latter-day Saints don't go to coffee shops.
And especially on a Sunday.
Especially. So this is where they felt it was safe to be able to go and to meet. And we've had cases like this where struggling Mormons have come to our meetings and driven hours to get to that meeting, knowing that the chances of someone seeing them at that meeting is probably going to be very unlikely because it's so far away from where they live. Why would they feel that kind of a threat? Because they know, folks, they know that if the word gets out in the local ward that this individual is struggling to the point that they are willing to talk to those who are considered quote-unquote enemies of the church, that is interpreted by many in the Latter-day Saints as an individual who is on the proverbial road to apostasy. And sadly, that's not always met with compassion in the Mormon church. It's many times met with anger, and it's many times met with some strong language to them as far as, well, you can be a son of perdition and you'll go to outer darkness. That kind of a threat is sometimes used. In other words, they know that it's not a safe thing for them. In fact, I remember getting an email from an individual who was over in Europe and started having doubts and was writing me asking for some help and told me that they did not want their doubts to become public knowledge in the Mormon community back there because they know how they would be treated because that's how they treated people.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? They know what could happen. This is why, Christian, we need to be there for them. We need to be there with compassion and an open ear and an understanding heart. But as I mentioned earlier, sometimes for those of us who were never a part of that community, can't really understand that. Well, this one woman makes an interesting comment. She says, when you go out of the church and try to have adult relationships with people, it's just so interesting because all of a sudden, you're just kind of a moron, right? And she uses the word moron. And stupid things, like ordering coffee. It took me the longest time. I just stared at the coffee board and then I felt stupid. I didn't want to ask the barista what is coffee.
Yeah.
Because coffee is something that's normal in most societies, except, of course, in a Mormon society. So you can understand the difficulty that a lot of these people are going through when they make that decision.
Yeah, Edward comes in after that scene and says, it also makes it easier for people who have left, but their families don't know that they've left. And this is something we, as if you've not been part of the Mormon church and left it, you really don't understand how important it is to the family that you remain in the church, because otherwise you're going to break eternal family bonds. So there's a lot of pressure for people to never leave. And so a lot of, I guess you would call them Jack Mormons, continue in the church, would rather just deal with that and be atheists in the closet rather than to come out and to disappoint mom, dad, wife, children. You could lose your family real easily. And so that's why these folks are meeting in a place where nobody will see them.
I can't begin to count how many times I have counseled with people who are struggling with their Mormonism and their family does not know. And some of them have doubted for months, even years. And as you've mentioned, they will not stop going to church because they know that will raise suspicion. So they go, as you say, basically when it comes to Mormonism, they're an atheist. They don't believe it. But they will sit there because they don't want to risk their family relationship.
Right.
Because you have to understand, folks, that if a sealed Mormon man, for instance, decides that Mormonism is not true, what does that do to the wife of that individual?
She's in limbo, and the best she can expect is possibly to be a polygamous wife to someone else who will want her. In the next life, but will not be able to be with him forever. And that sacrifices possibly the children as well.
In other words, they need a priesthood holding male in order to keep that family unit together. If that priesthood holding male leaves the faith, he obviously loses that priesthood authority. And that places the spouse in a very precarious situation. You see, it's not just about Jesus. It's all about the family. And if you ask most Latter-day Saints, what are you seeking most in the next life? The first answer you're going to hear is being with my family. You break that chain And you can see why you would be in a lot of trouble with other family members.
Those who are leaving are not in that camp of wanting to stay in the church if something's not true. They want to get out. And Edward was that way. He had been a former missionary, apparently, and in his late 20s, he started to doubt what he had been taught, and this is what he says in this interview. Eventually, I decided, okay, well, let's examine some of these doubts. Let's look at some of these questions objectively. And as soon as I started doing that, things unraveled very quickly, and I realized I couldn't believe anymore. That's what happened with the couple I was talking about yesterday at Sandra Tanner's bookstore right across the street from the ballpark. And they were saying, we were finding these things out left and right, and we couldn't stay in good conscience any longer in this church.
And I think that needs to be addressed, because some of the comments that were made towards this article I thought were so offensive. It was the typical attitude we unfortunately see so many times with some Latter-day Saints who want to prove their loyalty, and they prove their loyalty by denouncing those that are having doubts and ridiculing them as the reason why they're leaving is because they have some hidden sin or something like that. It's just horrible. Well, that goes back to what I was saying earlier. You see, that is how many are treated when they start to have doubts in the Mormon Church.
In this interview, Potter mentions the issue of Joseph Smith taking on as many as 40 wives, and that has been a big issue, and that was released last year in 2014. And this one man who's interviewed, it says, Joseph Smith being a polygamist, back in the 1980s when I was a teenager in the church, that would have totally gotten you kicked out. That was total heresy.
But what do Mormons do with that when it comes to Joseph Smith? How many times have we said it? Joseph Smith always gets a pass. You see, he was a prophet, as if somehow that means that a prophet of God can violate God's commands and it's okay. But the Mormon would counter, but wait, Bill, it was a command for Joseph Smith to do that. Well, that's what they've been led to believe, but certainly that's not even consistent within their own scriptures. But they do tend to make up these kind of excuses for Joseph Smith. And when the average member finds this out, they wonder, well, why are they making these kind of excuses? Excuses for Joseph Smith. Tomorrow we want to look at this article a little bit more in detail, because I think there's a lot of very interesting statements made by some of these who have left the Mormon Church and being interviewed for this PBS.org article called Former Mormons. I hope you will tune in for that broadcast tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, known as the Mormon Church, is a huge topic of interest among many Bible-believing Christians who want to reach their LDS loved ones or friends with the biblical message of hope and grace. If you're a Christian who wants to be better informed about the beliefs of the Mormon people, Mormonism Research Ministry wants to be a resource for you. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has worked hard to clearly articulate Mormon doctrine and history in order to better understand the issues that separate Mormonism from the Christian faith. At MRM.org, we have links to an active blog site, as well as dozens of articles and videos that will help educate you on this fascinating topic. Should your church need a live presentation, we can do that too. Contact MRM to schedule one of our PowerPoint presentations at MRM.org or call our office at 801-572-2153. That's 801-572-2153. Let MRM help you become a confident ambassador for Christ.